Sermon text this morning is from the Gospel, according to St. Luke, chapter 24, verses 28 to 43. Luke 24, 28 to 43. Now hear the word of the Lord. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and Jesus indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe, for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Yahweh, we bless you at all times. Our souls boast in you, that the humble shall hear and be glad. Deliver us from our fears. Save us out of our troubles. Encamp around us and deliver us. O Lord, bless us, that we may taste and see your goodness. Teach us to fear you. Keep our tongues from evil and our lips from deceit, that we may depart from evil and do good. O Lord, save those who have a contrite spirit. Deliver us out of all our afflictions. Guard our bones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Boys and girls, I beg your pardon, I have no count for you today. Been out of it too long. So you will have no count at the end of the service. You can still count how many times I say Jesus. You can count how many times I say table. I say those words quite a bit, but I will not have a number for you at the end. I beg your pardon. We'll get back on the horse next week. Brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the sixth Sunday of the Easter season. Now, I have repeated this update every Lord's Day in the sermon during the Easter season to remind you of the extended joy that we have in Easter, that we ought to have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Within the structure of the church calendar, the Advent season focuses on waiting, and that period of time of waiting is a little over 3 weeks. The Lenten season, which focuses on the suffering of Jesus, is 40 days. Good Friday focuses on his passion and his death. But the Easter season is 7 weeks long. 7 weeks for rejoicing and for feasting. And that brings us to today. This is the first day of our regathering. We have been providentially separated, providentially kept from gathering together on the Lord's Day for worship for 8 Sundays, if you're counting at home. We've been kept from communing with God and with one another. But by His grace, for which we praise Him, we are back. Now, our covenant renewal worship teaches us how this works. We have gathered together today because God has called us to worship. We don't come of our own accord. God calls us to assemble. And in our covenant renewal structure, the call to worship is like a trumpet blast that goes out into the world for the troops to assemble, the hosts on earth. You can imagine a movie scene with the bugler playing and the soldiers all lining up before the general. Now, we do this on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, because today is the day of resurrection. That's why we can proclaim, He is risen. We can do this each and every Lord's Day, even after the Easter season, because this is the day of resurrection. The new reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ reveals to us, with new eyes and new ears, it is the risen Lord, Jesus Christ, is the one who calls us. Jesus calls His resurrected ones to come and to bow down. And that's what we see imaged in the resurrection. They come to the tomb and they bow down before Him. Jesus calls us. Now, if you have been following along at home, during the quarantine, we've done a separate Bible study through the book of Ecclesiastes. In daily emails and videos, even prayer meeting messages. And I picked Ecclesiastes because I thought it was a helpful book to study, to learn from, as a faithful way to respond to this crisis. One important detail of Ecclesiastes is who wrote Ecclesiastes, who's the author. The author is listed in the very first verse as the son of David. And David had more than one son. But as the author of one other wisdom book, Proverbs, it's widely believed that Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. Yet the author gives himself an interesting label in that first verse, Ecclesiastes 1:1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Now, our English translations have this word being preacher. The preacher teaches us wisdom in Ecclesiastes. Now, the word translated to preacher comes from the Hebrew root to gather, to assemble, to call for an assembly. So if this is King Solomon calling the people to assemble, He calls them to teach them wisdom. And what are the themes of Ecclesiastes? Be thankful. Be joyful. Keep the commandments. Fear God. Solomon teaches wisdom that we are to trust God. This is what Keith said at the outset of the service. Trust God. How do you trust God? Solomon teaches by eating, drinking, and making merriment. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 8, you'll see the role of wise King Solomon calling Israel to assemble for worship after the completion of the temple. And the people gather for worship, for prayer, for sacrifice, and for feasting. The king calls the people to gather. The king teaches wisdom. The people pray and offer sacrifices. And together, the king feasts with his people. Let the hearer understand. Solomon imaged this in his kingly role in the Old Covenant. We see later King Hezekiah and King Josiah. They attended to the reinstitution and celebration of the Passover feast. The king calls, and the king feasts with his people. Now, for God's people to respond, the call to gather is a test of faith. Leave your concerns behind. Stop working. Come and enjoy communion with God and with one another. This is the teaching of Ecclesiastes. You can't control the world. Leave your worries behind and come. Be faithful to God. Enjoy his good gifts. Now, the resurrected Jesus Christ imaged this kingly assurance in his teaching to the women after his resurrection and to his disciples. Remember the message, do not fear. That sounds like Ecclesiastes. Do not fear. Do not fear because of the resurrection. Jesus has changed everything in the world. Don't live in the old world. Live in the new. Read the scriptures with your new eyes. Read the world with your new eyes, the eyes Jesus gives you. Now, Jesus used a different teaching method with his disciples on the road to Emmaus. He taught them wisdom from the scriptures, though they didn't fully understand. Has that ever happened to you? Ever come to church and didn't understand a connection in the sermon? Fully understand? Jesus taught his disciples by exhorting them to resurrection confidence, resurrection joy, by challenging their sadness. Challenging their sadness. He rebuked them in the necessary work of Christ to suffer unto glory. The resurrected Lord Jesus Christ moved his disciples away from fear, away from despair, away from unbelief. And he did that by being present with them. The purpose behind his suffering was a stumbling block to the disciples. They just didn't get it. Why did he need to suffer and die? The disciples didn't fully understand God's plan. And Jesus revealed it to them. And even then, they didn't fully understand. Our God is gracious in his mercy and his love to his people. Our Lord Jesus doesn't leave us to figure it out for ourselves. He doesn't just leave us hanging. He reveals himself, he teaches us, and then he comes back and does it again. But on the road to Emmaus, follow the trajectory. Where were they going? Jesus was bringing his disciples to table. That was the path. They were going to table. He could have fully revealed himself in his teaching. He could have given them a sermon and just opened their eyes right there on the spot. Could have been done. You got your sermon, let's everybody go home. That's how he could have left it. How does that sound to you? After the sermon, everybody just go. Jesus taught it from the Word. He taught from the scriptures. That could have been enough. But the resurrected Messiah, in his secret purpose, revealed himself fully at table. This meal in Luke 24 reveals that it was a different type of meal from an Ecclesiastes meal. Ecclesiastes meals are about eating, drinking, being merry, being joyful, being thankful, going forth in faithfulness. And we can draw all of these from the Luke 24 Emmaus table. They're all there. We can get it from all the other resurrection accounts. But the difference with the resurrection table was Jesus gathered with his disciples fully in the reality of the resurrection. That's different. Because at the table, the disciples received their new eyes. They could see Jesus' hands, his feet, his side. That's the reality of the resurrection. The disciples could declare the glorious proclamation, "He is risen." At table, at the Last Supper, Jesus told his disciples that he wouldn't eat and drink with them until he did so anew in his kingdom. In the reality of the resurrection, Jesus came to table with his disciples, and he ate and he drank with them. That is in the reality of the resurrection. Jesus, our resurrected Lord and Savior, feasted with his disciples. Brothers and sisters, we gather this morning because the Lord calls us here to feast with him. Not only does the trumpet blast go out to the neighborhood for the holy host to assemble, the Lord also rings the dinner bell for God's children to assemble at the table. The bell has been rung, and you have run to the house. You've washed up a couple, few times your hands, and you're ready to eat. Each celebration of the Lord's Supper that we celebrate is a recapitulation of previous feasts and previous celebrations with God and his people. In the Old Covenant, Abraham, for example, slaughtered the calf to eat with God. Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders, they ascended the mount to eat with Yahweh. Even in the Gospels, the feeding of the multitudes, the table fellowship we heard earlier in Matthew 9, Jesus shared with tax collectors and sinners. These are images of eating and drinking with our gracious God and King. These meals were covenantal. These feasts were personal. They imaged fellowship with God. They imaged his gracious gifts of his kingdom. They imaged reconciliation with fallen man and God. The Last Supper added a dynamic. The Last Supper added the benefit that the disciples could take into themselves the body and blood of our Lord. That was different. And at that table, he promised, as he went to suffer and die, he promised he would feast with them again. And in that feast, they would feast on him. Now the difference today, difference in resurrection feast, the Lord's Supper we now celebrate, is the flesh and blood we take in by the Spirit is the crucified and resurrected flesh of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's different at this table. God's people didn't have that in previous meals. Peace offering and Levitical sacrifices, Passover meal, Ecclesiastes meal, eating of fishes and loaves. This, by the Spirit, we feast on the resurrected flesh of Jesus Christ. Each worship service, covenant renewal, features disciples of Jesus hearing from Christ. You are taught wisdom from the Word. You respond to the table call. And our gracious Lord reveals himself as the crucified and resurrected Lord. Your eyes of faith, your resurrected eyes, see the self-revelation of Jesus Christ. He reveals himself at this table. Now, these weeks away, where we have not had the blessing and opportunity to do this, have been difficult, undoubtedly, because each Lord's Day is a feast day. The king calls the people to gather for the feast. We've been unable to answer that call, unable to leave the world behind and to enter the heavenlies for communion. We have missed that opportunity, missed the opportunity for our Luke 24 epiphany, to see the self-revelation of the crucified and resurrected Lord. We've missed Jesus in this. We have also desired to be together as brothers and sisters. We've missed each other, and that is truly a good thing that we've been missing. If you have looked forward these 8 Sundays with anticipation of seeing one another again, don't feel bad about that. Don't say, well, I miss my brothers and sisters. You miss Jesus. You miss your brothers and sisters. These are gifts from God. And missing brothers and sisters, the body of Christ gathered, is part of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Your seeing each other is part of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why you don't go off to your own little rooms and do communion by yourself. We do it gathered together as the body. Jesus reveals himself at table. He reveals himself as the body gathers. See him by faith. Don't just close your eyes when you get the bread and the wine. Open your eyes, taste, and see that the Lord is good. Resurrected eyes looking at the body. Now, if this teaching is hard to understand, you're like the disciples on the road to Emmaus. I get some of it, not all of it. Okay, seeing Jesus here, it's not like he's a hologram and you're not looking closely enough. Okay, this is not a magic eye picture. You just have to get your eyes just right and you get to see Jesus. No. See with resurrected eyes. The bread proclaims the body of Christ. The wine proclaims the blood of Christ. The table proclaims the altar that is Jesus upon whom we lay ourselves as living sacrifices unto him. And with these elements, Jesus blesses us with himself. We receive Jesus by the Spirit into ourselves. And lastly, our resurrected eyes must also see Jesus in the resurrected children of God. That's us. We are the resurrected ones. We are the ones being made anew in Christ. We take him into ourselves by the Spirit, and according to God's promises, we are made more and more and more and more like Jesus. And we can see this happening with each other. You are imaging Christ faithfully. I can see you growing in the Lord. You are speaking gracious, kind, loving words. You are speaking like Christ. You are growing like Christ. I can see it. See this happening with one another. And recognize, as Keith has exhorted us already, but it's worth repeating, recognize that you miss one another when we are apart. Our relationships are like no other relationships. Our relationships are based on the resurrected unity of Jesus. Do you have any other relationships like that? Friends, we grew up together, we play softball together, we work together. Those are unlike what we have here. So recognize that, rejoice in that. Thank God for that. So enjoy the table blessings by faith. Come in faith, even if you don't fully understand, even if you don't fully see, even if you're only 3 years old. Come in joy and in faith. Come in humility. Jesus wants to feast with you. He calls you to feast with himself. And he does that. He feasts with us through the Spirit who is in each of us. So, brothers and sisters, taste and see that the Lord is good. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son did manifest himself to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open, we pray, the eyes of our faith, that we may behold him in all his redeeming work. Through the same, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.